Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Wrestle Chat Radio's Evolution Review. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's historic all-women's pay-per-view Evolution at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to talk to us live. Of course, you can always hit us up in the chat room, and we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Let me start by saying that we ended yesterday's show by saying the women had a chance to rise to the occasion despite Evolution being a very, very poorly promoted and very, very poorly booked show. And for all intent and purposes, they did rise to the occasion. They were given ample time for their matches. And with very few exceptions, I think, they rose to that occasion and they made the most out of their time. And I think that several women came out looking a lot better for this pay-per-view. Not to say that this was a perfect pay-per-view, because there were some very odd booking decisions here from start to finish. And we'll be getting into them one at a time as we go. My overall thought, however, is that the WWE's women's division at least pulled off, they pulled a rabbit out of a hat, so to speak. They were set up to basically fail, with maybe the exception of one match. Becky Lynch and Charlotte wasn't going to fail. Everything other than that was set up to be not much. And I think almost each and every match made more of their opportunity than they were given. So let's start off first with the tag team match, the Legends match, where Trish Stratus and Lita were supposed to take on Alexa Bliss and Mickey James. But Alexa Bliss, as we reported yesterday, was injured and I guess still can't pass the stress test for the concussion, so she was out of it, but at least she got to come to ringside. Replacing her was Alicia Fox, who, you know, listen, if anybody's going to replace her, Alicia Fox has been with this company forever. Forever. And she's kind of earned a place on this card, so it was a little bit of a feel-good moment. I mean, I want Alexa Bliss in there, but if it meant Alicia Fox was just going to be relegated to walking them out or being in the Battle Royal, it was kind of nice to see Alicia Fox have a spot. Now, having said that, this is odd booking decision number one. Trish Stratus and Lita admittedly look pretty good. They don't look like they've lost a ton. Yes, there's ring rust. Yes, they were way slower than normal. But they cannot dominate this women's division. You just can't have this. You can't have two women in their 40s get off the couch, walk into a ring, and basically say, we can not only win, but dominate. And I mean, they dominated. This was a glorified squash match. Alicia Fox and Mickey James had control for maybe a minute out of a 15-minute match. This is a glorified squash match where Trish and Lita just get in all their spots. And I don't think you can have that. I think it's a very poor booking decision. The right booking decision, of course, was to have Alexa Bliss interfere and cost Trish and Lita that match. It keeps Trish and Lita looking like they could have won. But it also keeps the current women's division looking stronger than the division from 15, 20 years ago. And there's just no reason in God's green earth for Trish and Lita to have taken this match other than a feel-good moment. And you're either serious about evolving your women. This is, it's called Evolution. you've called this thing evolution. You're either going to evolve your women's division by having the ones that are working for you full time going forward, or you're going to bury them with the legends. And you chose to bury them with the legends. So it's very weird that you started this big event called evolution off by de-evolving and going backwards. Yes, Alicia Fox blew her spot. It's unfortunate. She was late trying to break up the pinfall, and clearly the referee had to stop his count. Fans booed. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? It was an okay opener. It left a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth, only because I don't see how it's a wise move to have these two 40-something women get off their couch, walk into a ring, and beat the hell out of women who are doing it every night for the WWE, Mike. It seemed like an odd decision.
It did seem like an odd decision. And, again, I agreed with you. I thought the booking decision should have been what you said it should have been. And that's all I'm going to say on that match. And it kind of did set it back a little bit. But, I mean, look, we'll get to the rest of the matches. But I think the rest of the matches took its several steps forward, in my opinion. But
well, you know, I think, yeah, I think the women rose to the occasion. I don't even think the women did a bad match in this match. I'm just saying I don't understand the philosophy behind the WWE saying, other than this is going to be a feel-good moment, Trish and Lita both come out of retirement and win. Take that for any other sport in the world. How about if a 50-year-old pitcher comes out of retirement and he's going to pitch in the World Series and he pitches, you know, a one-hitter. And he takes, you know, over, you know, it just doesn't sound right. It sounds wrong. It doesn't happen in sports that way. This was the opportunity for Trish and Lita, two legends, to pass the torch. Now, granted, you're passing the torch to a woman just about as old as you and another girl who's not being used very well at all. But I doubt very greatly that the outcome of that match was changed because Alicia Fox took Alexa Bliss's place. I think the outcome was exactly the same regardless. And Alicia Fox is Alexa Bliss is your future. And your current. And I just don't think you can have them get... It was bad enough they got beaten. But they got dusted. And that's the one thing I guess I didn't like about it, Todd. I think that if you were going to have that outcome, it would have been better if they dominated the whole match, meaning Alicia Fox and Mickey James, and then Trish and Lita came back out of nowhere with an upset victory. But that's not what happened.
You're absolutely right there. That was not that was supposed to happen, to have Alicia Fox and Mickey James to win that match. Put them over, not have the legends or Hall of Famers that win the match. It, like you said, with Alicia Fox, she messed up her cue last night. I saw that, and you know it's.
Yeah.
It's.
I mean, terrible. That's unfortunate. That it's going to happen once in a while, but the whole thing, I think, got off to a bad start this way because right away I said to myself, "Oh Jesus, here we go with another night of not the best women wrestling, but the most popular." And I remember when they were saying, no, we're going to really take this serious and we're going to see, here's the problem. They do it with the men too. The most popular guys win, whether they're the most skilled or not. But you got to get the women to that level first. And the only way you're going to get them to that level first is by highlighting their athletic ability, not their ability to smile for the camera. And until you do that, once you get to that level where the women are taken seriously, then you can say personalities are going to decide matches sometimes. Popularity is going to decide matches sometimes. But you got to give them that credibility first. And no matter how you slice this, especially since she was put out and couldn't participate, Alexa Bliss should have figured into the ending of that match, should have won it for her team. by cheating. Anyway, so an okay match. Bad decision booking-wise as far as I'm concerned. And we go to the Battle Royal. And what a surprise this was. There's a lot of people in here I didn't know was going to be in here. Here's what I'll say about the Battle Royal. It wasn't boring. Yeah, some legends got thrown out almost immediately. All the divas got tossed pretty quickly, with one or two exceptions. Ivory stayed in there for a while, and Michelle McCool, because she's married to The Undertaker, you know, stayed in there a while. The Iconics, it wasn't even worth lacing up their boots. When that first happened, I said to myself, well, this is not off to a good start at all. Not at all. But then you would figure that if these legend women decided these girls are mouthing off, we're going to all get together and toss them out, that the next thing that would have happened was they would have ganged up on the big girls, but they didn't. Now, this was a very important battle royal for one particular reason, and that is the winner gets a shot at the title. So you have to figure to yourself that if a bad guy wins from SmackDown, Charlotte's probably getting the belt. So they had to work this very carefully as to not really tip what was going to happen. I was very surprised to see Asuka and Naomi thrown out. Very surprised. They did put a couple of branches on the tree, but not good ones, unfortunately, with Nia Jax and Tamina Snuka, because there's nothing's going to happen there, considering that Nia Jax won this thing. Now, Nia Jax winning this thing is absurd. It's not absurd because, well, she couldn't win it. She's the biggest girl in it. It's absurd because it leads to nothing. We've already seen Nia Jax, Ronda Rousey, and it wasn't good. So now we get to see more of the same, and it won't be good again. This was the opportunity, if you didn't want Asuka and Naomi in it, if you're saying, no, we got plans, they don't need to be in it, then Ember Moon should have taken this thing. Obviously, you didn't want Carmella. Then you need to take the opportunity to build a star. And Ember Moon would have been the one. Because at least that would have built her star a little bit. Not that she didn't help herself. She did. She definitely helped herself last night. The crowd was totally behind her. But Nia Jax winning this thing doesn't really make any sense. No one wants to see Nia Jax Ronda Rousey. No one does. We've seen it, and it wasn't any good. So now you're going to give it to us again? If that's the best you could come up with, give it to someone who needs that victory then. You don't want to give it to a top star like Asuka or Naomi? Okay. Give it to somebody who really needs it then. And that probably would have been Ember Moon. So not off to a great, great start for me, because while I enjoyed both matches, I actually enjoyed the Rumble. There are parts of the Battle Royal, I should say. I actually enjoyed parts of that. I just think the wrong person won again. I don't understand the booking behind this. Mike, once again, we're going to see, I guess, a Ronda Rousey, Nia Jax feud, and I just don't know why. I mean, it doesn't seem to make much sense.
I don't get it either. And look, I'll say this again, and we've said it before when we saw her a few months back when she showed up for, was it Raw 1000 or whatever it was? But Alundra Blaze looks like, at 55, she looks like she can go, and she went for a little bit, you know. She looked like, now from, I did a little research on her, she still makes appearances in like Japan and places like that, and still does matches at 55 years old, you know. So obviously, but you look at her body and you look at how she's in shape, she looks like she can still go.
Well, the one that impressed me the most, honestly, was Ivory. I mean, Ivory is 56 years old. Number one, where you're right, Alundra Blaze still still has some athletic ability. She's always been an athlete and a good athlete. Alundra Blaze looks old. Ivory doesn't look much different. Ivory came down, and I'm like, oh, okay. I could buy her getting right back into the division tomorrow. And she lasted a while. She was in great shape. I was really impressed with Ivory. But the one here that stood out was Ember Moon, because it proves that the fans want to cheer for her. It proves that the fans want her to be pushed. And truthfully, Ember Moon probably would have been a better choice against Ronda. Because we haven't seen it. And it would have made fans say, ooh, this is going to be interesting because we like them both. You know, they're going to do that anyway, because Nia Jax is obviously a face. So you may as well go with the hand you didn't deal us already. You've already dealt us this hand. So I don't know. I was a little suspect on that. Todd, what was your thoughts about the winner of the Battle Royal?
Like you said, when Nia Jax won, and this was not going to go anywhere. This is not going to lead to nothing. But one of my favorite parts of that Battle Royal, they did the dance break with Carmella and Ivory, and the camera would sort of go back to R-Truth doing the dance break too in the crowd.
Yeah. They've got a, yeah, I'll tell you. Hey, she got a good thing going there. Carmella could milk this character. When they did that dance break thing, I almost thought to myself, they're going to let her win this. But they didn't. I thought maybe even R-Truth would get involved somehow, which would not have been great, but with R-Truth saying I want to be in the Battle Royal on the pre-show, I thought something could happen. Anyway, a disappointing ending, but a pretty good Battle Royal all over. Shayna Baszler, Kairi Sane. Shayna Baszler has shown again how great she can be as a heel. Now, I'm going to say this, and it's probably going to piss a few people off. She still isn't great in the ring. She still is a little clunky. She still has a little problem with her selling. She still looks a little clunky now and then. But Shayna Baszler gets it. She gets professional wrestling. So just give her time, and she's going to be everything you want her to be. She's a good enough athlete. She's got to really get in there and bust ass on some of the nuances of professional wrestling. And once she does that, she'll be in. Now, as far as Kairi Sane, I'm not going to lie to you. I think she's overrated. I don't think she ever... I've never seen her in a match where she tells a really good story, except I'm the underdog who fights back. And I just... Her moveset is average. Yes, she does a couple of high-risk things, but I don't know. I'm just not a Kairi Sane fan. I don't think she's that great. I think she's basically a, Japanese anime cosplay favorite. She milks that for what it's worth, and she's a decent athlete, but I just don't think she's a great wrestler. That's just my opinion. Not that Shayna Baszler is, but the right person won, and the right person won under the right circumstances. The only thing that worries me, and it worries me to death, is they keep doing this four horsewomen thing and keep putting Ronda Rousey in the middle of it, and I don't know why. You have got to distance Ronda Rousey from three girls who will interfere in a match against a 5-foot-tall girl to let their partner win. I thought Ronda Rousey's a good guy. Miss fair play. Then where is Ronda Rousey saying, guys, that was a cheap-ass win? Now, maybe they'll do that. Maybe that's how they're going to turn Shayna Baszler, because I firmly believe after last night that Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey are going to fight. Maybe the powers that be have listened to this show and said, you know, those guys are right. Baszler and Rousey is a better match. Because I firmly believe it. Now, the only other thing the WWE might do is try to do a four horsewoman angle, which they could do. They could do the four horsewomen against the four horsewomen and just have Ronda get turned on in that match. Because Ronda could be the only good guy in there that doesn't want to cheat, doesn't want to do whatever, and the girls get mad and turn on her. That could very well happen, and if that happens, I'm okay with it. But I do think Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey are going to fight. Absolutely think it. After last night especially. So the right person won, Mike. I think it was an okay match. It did highlight that Baszler's a little green still, but she's coming along well.
Yeah, and what I did like about it is that's how you introduce these other two girls. If they're going to be heels, that's how you're going to introduce them, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I just don't know how they're going to work Rousey into this as the fourth horsewoman when she's clearly a face, unless they do what we just said.
And plus, if they're going to do the full horsewomen versus the full horsewomen, you know, you're going to have to do something and get Charlotte and Becky and Bayley and Sasha back, you know, together.
Yeah, they could still do it and say we don't like each other, but we reluctantly will be on the same team against these girls. I mean, I guess they could do that. There's some things they could do there. The thing about Shayna Baszler that she has down so well is A, her mannerisms, her expression, her body language, as far as being that arrogant heel. She does have to work on her selling. She always looks like she slipped on a banana peel. She doesn't sell anything as better or worse. In other words, if you drop kick her, she sells it the same way as if you put her through a table. She never sells something minor like, okay, that knocked me down but didn't hurt me. Okay, that really hurt me. She has that same exact mannerism. She has one way of selling everything, whether it's being dropped, toe-holded, or shot out of a cannon. And she's got to stop that. She's got to work on more nuance with, this was a bigger move, so I have to sell it more. This looked like it really, really should hurt, so I got to really, you know, oversell this, undersell this. She's got to work on those nuances. She will, because she gets it. But the right person won, Todd, and I thought it wasn't a great match, but it was a good match.
You're absolutely right there. It was, like you said, it was a good match. The match wasn't too bad or anything. Like you said, they had the right person won. They had Baszler as the new NXT champion and women's champion, I mean. And like you said, they had the right person to be the champion as a heel, and I think she gets it too. And I think in time she will get better at this.
Oh, she's going to get better because she gets it. A lot of people don't. I mean, it takes a long time, and some people never do. She definitely gets the idea behind it. She's just got to work on some of the more eclectic things in pro wrestling, some of the minor things. Tony Storm versus Io Shirai. This probably should have and could have stole the show. They didn't give him as long as I'd hoped. They gave him about 10 minutes. I was really hoping to see 15 or even 20 from these girls. But I can tell you this right now. Shirai is not overrated. She is an extremely good professional wrestler. Extremely good. Having said that, though, Toni Storm is a star. I'm telling you. You can see it in the way she moves, the way she dresses, the way she acts, the way she reacts. She 100% has the pro wrestling mentality down, the American style pro wrestling mentality down. She's going to be big. She's going to be big. Now, is she as good a wrestler as Shirai? No, she's not. She's a really good wrestler. She's not as good as Shirai. But the Japanese women, they do things differently. And they often don't get the Americanization of this as well as some. And Toni Storm has it. She 100% has it. She's exactly what the WWE is looking for. She is going to literally have a cup of coffee in the NXT divisions, and she's going to be called up. I'm telling you. They're not going to keep her down for that much longer. A, she doesn't need it. She's ready right now. She could walk into a WWE ring right now on either Raw or SmackDown. And B, she has the personality, the look, the whole thing to be what the WWE wants out of one of their women athletes. And that is marketable. when you take a look at Toni Storm, the first thing you say is you can market her. Not just as a good wrestler, as a character, as a person, she's marketable. And that's going to be important, I think, to the WWE, Mike.
Right, it is. But here's something else to think about. Just before, either just before the match or during the match, they said that Io Shirai had signed with the WWE.
Yep.
Now, on Sunday, we didn't know that. And what I said on Sunday is, if she hadn't signed, then Toni Storm's winning. And it's not going to be close, but it was a close match. It was a hard-fought match, and they said she signed. So, you know, and look, it wasn't like Toni Storm ran over Io Shirai. You know, it wasn't a squash match. It was a very hard-fought, you know, athletic, they each got their spots in, match, you know. And this is coming up. I thought the next two matches were the incredible matches. These matches, this one and the NXT Championship were just good matches that lead into these other two matches, you know.
I don't think they're ever going to have Shirai get squashed because she's the number one wrestler in Japan, and that would be a slap in the face of the Japanese wrestling fans. They never would have done it. Even if she didn't sign, they never would have done it. But I think they realize that out of the two, the most marketable commodity as a superstar is Toni Storm. And I do think you'll see her very soon in one of the main rosters. I really do. Good match overall. Okay, let's go to the Riot Squad versus Natty, Bailey, and Sasha. They gave this quite a long time, 15 minutes or so, a lot of false finishes. The Riot Squad got plenty of offense in on this. However, again, I think this is a bad booking decision, and I'll tell you why. Natty does not need the victory. Natty's going nowhere. And Natty has to be the one to take the pinfall. Because the Riot Squad have been relegated to, they never win. So they're not dangerous. They're not deadly. They're not fearsome. They're not intimidating. They always lose. And if they always lose, I don't see how you can build anything off of them ever. Again, this felt like a feel-good moment. Well, Natty and Bailey and Sasha have earned a victory here at this first ever women's pay-per-view. Yeah, they have. I agree with that. But you can't go by emotion on this. You got to go by logic. And logic is you got to give the Riot Squad their moment here. Don't do it at Bailey's expense. Don't do it at Sasha's expense. But come on. Natty is basically a trainer now. She wrestles matches, but she's not going to wrestle in the top level of the WWE and be a champion in long-term angles and things. It's not happening for her now. She's found her place, and her place in this particular match should have been to put over Ruby Riott. Even if it was by cheating, even if it was by a whatever, it still has to be to put over Ruby Riott. Now, having said that, the standout in this match, I think, in my opinion, was Sasha Banks, who looked very good again. And Sasha has this weird thing. And we may as well address it. If you want to really be equal, then you can't just come on this show and say, oh, the women were wonderful. They're fantastic. They're marvelous. You got to critique just like you would the men. So I'm going to. Sasha Banks has an annoying habit. And the annoying habit is when it matters, she turns up. And you see a really good Sasha Banks. And then there are times when it looks like she doesn't give a damn. And you see a really watered down Sasha Banks who's like, let me just go through the motions and get back, you know, stage. And if she's ever going to be a super, super star, she's got to stop that. Every performance has to be like she did last night, where she hit her spots beautifully. She was where she should be. She was a ball of energy. Everything was great. That's the way she has to be all the time. Not just once in a while, Mike.
Yeah, she has to be that way all the time. Because, look, Bailey was more than solid. Natty, for what she was more than solid. And of course, the Riot Squad was more than solid, you know. And if she expects to at least be in the hunt for the championship at some point, she's got to be Sasha has got to be more consistent. But I did enjoy that the double sharpshooter, or as I term it, the double scorpion deathlock, you know.
Yeah. Well, no, look, there's no doubt that Natty's probably the best overall wrestler in there. I'm just saying that, you know, the way things are going now, it doesn't look like she's ever going to be at the top level of the WWE, so you got to sort of pass that torch, and that's probably what she should have done. I would have loved to have seen the Riot Squad get their big moment here and sort of allow the announcers to say, wow, they've really arrived. I mean, they beat a team that's a super team, you know, and that's kind of what it was. Bayley and Sasha, two of the very top people, and Natty, everybody knows, is one of the, you know, top trainers and everything. So if they were to beat them, they have bragging rights to say, whoa, you know, the Riot Squad really is a force to be reckoned with. Now it just feels like the Riot Squad is one of those teams that really don't win much, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I wouldn't give Natty and Sasha and Bayley the win. I would have given it to the Riot Squad. The win there, and like you said, I think there was a wrong team who won.
I think so too. And again, it's not the women all put on a great match. It's just the booking is weird. There's been some weird booking decisions. The Legends winning the first match, I disagree with it. Nia Jax winning the Battle Royal, I disagree with it. And Natty and Sasha and Bayley winning this six women match, I disagree with it. I just don't see how that's the best thing going forward. Well, Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair certainly was the main event. I don't care how many times you want to say the name Ronda Rousey. Gauge the fan reaction. The fans blew the roof off the building of the Nassau Coliseum for Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch is a legit superstar. And she did it, the best efforts of the WWE, to make her a heel. It's funny how that works, isn't it? They said, oh, you want to cheer for Becky Lynch? That's fine. You know, we'll make her this nice Becky Lynch. And she's a, you know, she's a little bit of a fire plug. You get her mad and her hot Irish temper comes out and she'll battle with you. But she's a nice girl. And the fans were like, yeah, and you're not doing anything with her and you're just wasting her. And, you know, I give some props to Michael Cole last night for telling it like it is. And he says, look, we're not going to ignore the fact that this whole crowd is cheering for Becky Lynch. 90% of this crowd is cheering for Becky Lynch because they identify, they believe what she says. She says, her claim is that she was held back here, that she wasn't because her heritage wasn't that of someone like Charlotte Flair. She wasn't given all these opportunities. And fans are buying it. Whether it's right or whether it's wrong, the fans are buying it and they are behind Becky Lynch. Good move on Michael Cole's part. Because to try to save this and say, no, Charlotte's still popular. No, she wasn't. She was being booed out of the building for the most part. And it also was a good move on Becky Lynch's part to start acknowledging the fans. She doesn't kiss their ass. She's not glad-handing fans and telling them to cheer for her. But when they do, she uses it. I mean, she turned to Charlotte last night and pointed to the audience like, listen, that's important. That's a little minor thing, but it works because the fans are then encouraged to say, yeah, we're still going to root for Becky regardless. And there's no reason why, if you're going to fail on a storyline this bad, that you built a top face out of a heel angle, then you may as well run with it. Run with it on all cylinders. Now, this was a phenomenal match. There were two screw-ups, yes. One by the referee, but there's nothing he could do about it. Charlotte did not get to her feet by the 10 count, and he had to stop it anyway. And another one by the referee where there was no way that Becky could really reach the chair, so he literally kicked the chair to her. But that did not really take away from this match. These girls went out. It's almost 30 minutes, this match. These girls went out and tore the house down. It's not Sasha and Bayley at NXT. It's not. But it wasn't supposed to be because it's a last woman standing match. So, you know, it had to be more violent and fisticuffs and things rather than all sorts of reverses and triple reverses and whatever. But both of these women, if there was one match last night that I said to myself, this is literally no different than a man's match, this was it. This was 100% it. Give credit to Charlotte Flair. She took some hellacious bumps. She went through a table. She got slammed on the chairs. She took kendo stick shots that left large marks on her back. These girls both decided, let's go out here and just tear it down, and they tore it down. I'm very happy to say that this match 100% stole the show. I knew it was going to. I knew this wasn't going to be crap because any match that the fans are that emotionally invested in, it's almost never going to be crap. And this was far from it. A couple little minor things aside, Mike, I thought this was third or fourth probably best women's match I've seen in the WWE.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. It's in my mind, it's only second to overall to the Becky the Sasha Bayley match down in NXT. That's it. In my mind, that's it. You know, and think about this. There were some very innovative things that they did with that match. I mean, having Charlotte put the figure four into the figure eight through the ladder.
Yep.
That was something you've never seen before. You know, I mean, it was incredible. I mean, I was with all those chairs there. And we've seen them do that. We've seen the men do that too, where they throw all these chairs in the ring. I'm surprised that one of the girls didn't try a concerto. You know, I'm surprised.
Yeah, I mean, they tried everything under the sun. I loved the. A lot of people said, well, there was a corny moment I didn't like. Unfortunately, I think it was one of the moments I liked the best. Is where Becky pretty much piled everything on top of Charlotte. And stood back for the count. And then Charlotte kind of rose out of that with this fierce look in her eye. And Becky was in panic mode. I mean, that's just good heel work. You know? It's good heel work. It's old school heel work. Because, you know, the modern heel now says, oh, well, I'll just go back after her. I won't be in panic mode. I won't be afraid. I won't be looking surprised. I'll just be like, okay, the son of a bitch got up. Let me go get her again. No, Becky Lynch backed off and was like, holy crap, man, what have I done? You know, I've unleashed the animal here in her. At that moment in time, here's why that's a great move. There's going to be some of you younger fans who say, it wasn't a good move because it makes Becky look cowardly and it's kind of corny that Charlotte can just get up and all of a sudden Becky Lynch is scared. And no, what it looked like to the fan is Charlotte's going to win. See, because at that point, when Charlotte got up from all of that, I said, Charlotte's going to win. That was their way of bluffing the fans into saying, Charlotte's going to win this. Becky has no option now. She's all of a sudden, she's gone into panic retreat mode. Charlotte's enraged. She's come out of the worst thing that's going to happen to her that night. And now it's going to be all Charlotte going primeval on Becky's ass. That's what I truly and honestly thought. So they marked us out. They bluffed us out. And they wouldn't have been able to do that if Becky Lynch just ran at her and said, okay, it doesn't matter. You got up. I'll still. No. What made us think this match is over and Charlotte's going to win is Becky reacting that way and backing off. So psychologically, that was a brilliant of wrestling. Sometimes those things are more important than a great move. Because that's the moment when I said to myself, Charlotte's winning. Charlotte's winning the thing. Really thought that in my heart of hearts. And that's why this match was so great, because even when Charlotte got put through the table, I didn't think that was the end. I said, yeah, it's not, it's, she's going to get up. And when she didn't, I was like, holy shit. Very, very seldom you surprise me with an ending of a match. And that Becky Lynch backing off, being scared sort of thing, Mike, sold me that Charlotte was going to win this match.
Right. And it actually ended up that, and we can talk about the finish, she actually ended up having to hit her with the belt, which I enjoyed too, because, I mean, she hit her with just about everything else, you know. Why wouldn't you have a hitter with a belt?
Right. Right. And again, it doesn't make Charlotte look bad at all. If anything, it makes Charlotte look like, well, look, here's the deal. If this was a wrestling match, Charlotte probably is going to win. But this was a brawl. And Becky Lynch just out-brawled her. Simple as that. Not by much, but she out-brawled her. And you combine that with that twist, psychological twist that made most fans think Charlotte was winning, and that becomes a great wrestling match. If you can bluff the fans more than a, oh, the guy did his finisher, but no, he got his foot on the ropes at 2 9/10, that's one way of a false finish. But Charlotte busting out of those chairs that was piled up on top of her outside, and that look in her eye, and Becky Lynch backing off saying, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. I was 1,000% convinced that Charlotte's going to tear her head off now. The match is almost over. She's going to dominate for the next couple of minutes and polish off Becky Lynch. I really thought that. And because of that, that's one of the best false finishes I've ever seen, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's one of the most false finishes I ever seen, too. And it was a pretty good match, and it actually stole the show, that pay-per-view.
Oh, definitely stole the show. I mean, how would you like to be Ronda Rousey and Nikki Bella and you have to follow that? You know, you're not following that. You're not even following that with fan enthusiasm. That was the main event and should have been the main event. The reason it wasn't the main event is two words, Ronda Rousey. Now let me be fair to Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey, somebody flipped the switch on Ronda Rousey. I don't know what the hell happened. I don't know whether somebody really came in and gave her the old talking to, or she was watching her matches back and critiqued herself and said, I got to start doing some this or that. But she still has no more offense. Ronda's not a great professional wrestler as far as her offensive moves, but she has 100% learned how to do the selling better than she was even 2 months ago. 2 months ago, she was horrible at it. Just horrible at it. And now she's actually pretty good at it. And now she's convinced, she's done the proper thing. She has convinced the world that while she's extremely tough, she is beatable. And that's important to Ronda Rousey's popularity. Because if the whole thing is just she's invincible, fans aren't going to back her up, I'm telling you. She needs to show a little bit of weakness where you say, the right opponent can exploit her weaknesses, they can beat her. Now, Nikki Bella last night dominated a lot of that match, which was a little silly, but they had to do it. Nikki Bella is what she is. Now, she can go through the motion. She's never going to be a great professional wrestler. She goes through the motion. She can get it done. She can put on a decent match. Bree on the outside helped. There was a couple of good moments, especially when she basically Samoan drops both Bellas. And it wasn't a horrible match. The problem was, from the minute Nia Jax won that Battle Royal, there was never any doubt. Because there's no way in God's green earth that you're promoting a Nikki Bella-Nia Jax match. Not happening. So we knew it would be Ronda Rousey. We kind of knew it anyway. But it was just, it felt anticlimactic after what we just witnessed with Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair, who worked better together than Sasha Banks and Charlotte Flair for some reason. Sasha Banks and Charlotte Flair have had two opportunities to, you know, make women's history with these special matches, and they did not live up to expectation. This one did. This one exceeded expectation. I don't know whether it's just the style. I don't know what it is. But they definitely work better together. And this is a feud that you can literally keep going and fans aren't going to get sick of it. Because it's A, it's a believable feud. It's not over the top. B, fans are solidly emotionally invested in it. C, no one has really come out as the dominating factor. Becky's hanging on to the belt, but man, she's just barely hanging on to it. It's the old Dusty Rhodes Ric Flair thing where, you know, Ric Flair's hanging on, but man, he's just barely hanging on. And you can feel there's going to be a change. You just don't know when. And it could be any time. And that's what makes it great is you say, I don't know. At any time, they can have Charlotte win this. Every match could be, this could be Charlotte's moment or not. That's the old throwback to the Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes days, Mike. And that's what makes this great.
Right there. Yeah, and I agree with you there. But there, like you said, there are certain feuds that in the history of wrestling that fans never really got tired of. And I give you a good example. There was a feud in the early 80s between Buzz Sawyer and Tommy Rich that went on for a couple of years. And yeah, they tried to end it by having them team with each other, but it didn't work. But fans never got tired of that thing. And this seems like this could be this way for the foreseeable future. That these, even if you're having them trade the championship, you know, at
yeah.
some point, just, you know, fans aren't going to get tired of it. It's just that somebody else, the other girl is going to be chasing the other girl, you know. The first girl is going to be chasing.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Let me say this, and it might be a little controversial, but I really believe this. Despite the fact that Charlotte Flair is a great, great athlete, despite the fact that Sasha Banks is extraordinarily charismatic and can pull off her matches well, despite the fact that Bayley is extremely lovable and likable and is a great wrestler, despite the fact that Naomi's probably the best athlete in the women's division, bar none, and despite the fact that Asuka is, you know, everything we've heard of with the Japanese women wrestling, I'm going to make this statement, and I see if you guys agree with me. Becky Lynch is the first true women's superstar in this new women's revolution. No one blows the roof off the building for any woman. Not Asuka, not in WWE anyway, not Naomi, not Becky, not Bayley, not Sasha, not Charlotte. Becky Lynch is getting a male top star reaction. And to my knowledge, no other female has gotten this type of reaction, Mike.
None. The closest thing that I can remember, from a woman is maybe one of the women in the old Attitude Era or possibly Alundra Blaze. That's about it. Other than that, that's about it.
I don't think Alundra Blaze. Not like this. Did you hear the Nassau County Coliseum? They were singing her song. The whole audience was singing her song when they stopped playing that theme music. That's incredible.
That reminded me a whole lot of what used to happen with the Sandman.
Yep. That's what I said. That's a male top star reaction. That's not a female top star reaction. Female top star reaction used to be like, woohoo, that girl's hot. Then it turned into, yeah, I like her, like Bayley or whatever. I have seen reactions like this because of a match. Like, I think Trish Stratus and Lita had a huge, huge pop when they fought each other because it was such a great matchup. But individually, I've never seen a reaction like this. I've never seen a female athlete get this type of reaction. This is Stone Cold Steve Austin, Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage type reactions. This building is popping for Becky Lynch. She is the legitimate, in my opinion, the legitimate first actual women's wrestling, WWE women's wrestling star to get that type of reaction, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Like you said, it has that. She got that huge reaction, like you said, like a Rock or Randy Savage or a Bret Hart thing of cheers and a Hogan. You name it all. You just named the guy, the wrestler who had the biggest cheer, like Becky Lynch has.
Yeah, it's amazing. I don't think I've ever seen this with a women's wrestler. She has absolutely caught fire in the women's division. She's the best thing to happen to this women's division. I'm telling you, she is. Now, they could ruin it, as the WWE often does. Or they could play this for all it's worth. But, man, I'm telling you, she right now is the spark that could ignite this women's division. You need to get more women on that level. And she did it by underplaying her character, not overplaying it. See, that's the thing. Becky Lynch did not come out and say, I'm going to kill everybody and I'm a mean, terrible. She didn't do it. She just underplayed it and said, I'm tired of being the screwed person. And when Becky Lynch was in the ring with Edge, she portrayed something that was very important psychologically, and that is this. I've watched that segment 3 times, and I said, why am I drawn to that segment so well? Why do I think that was one of the best segments in a long time? The reason it was one of the best segments in a long time is we as fans who like Becky Lynch watch her facial expressions when Edge is saying, you're going to be sitting there with all your championships alone. And what's worse, you're not even going to like yourself. And we see Becky Lynch's reaction. And we know that she knows he's right. But then she decides, no, I'm not going to let him psychologically change who I am. So I'm just going to say something outrageous. And she says, I don't. You're right, I don't like myself. I love myself. Now get out of my ring and try not to hurt your neck on the way out. And we all know, because she tipped her hand to us, that's not the way she really feels. She knows he's right. But she is so determined to stay on top that every time she thinks, I'm going to break, I'm going to go back to being nice. She says, no, let me say something outrageous and mean and cut to the core to keep my edge. I'm trying to keep my edge. And we know that's what she's trying to do. That is a brilliant psychological advantage Becky Lynch has. And it's something that usually only happens with really good actors in really well-written movies, where you say, I know the actor feels this way, but they're not letting on they feel this way. I can see it in their facial expressions. I can see it in their mannerisms. And you see in Becky Lynch, Mike, a girl who says, I'm not really proud of what I'm doing, but I'm winning and I'm not going to stop because I feel if I don't do this, I'm going to go back to where I am and I don't want to ever go back there again. That's what makes her the anti-hero, Mike.
Yeah, that's what makes her the anti-hero. And that's what makes – remember what – what was Stone Cold before he was Stone Cold?
And exactly.
Throw the ringmaster out. He was stunning,
yep.
Steve Austin, right?
Yep.
Well, what happened? He became a ringmaster, and then he pulled a Becky Lynch and did what he did and said what he said about the whole Austin 316 thing, and that's what kicked it off. And again, I think with that whole segment kind of cemented, with Edge kind of cemented Becky Lynch. And
it did
now
cement
she's
her.
Taking it, and now she's taking it to a different level. And one thing about Charlotte, though, she's got 8 championships. I think they want to turn her into her father and have her at some point hold the women's championship like 16 times or something.
I believe it. Look, Charlotte's a great athlete. And she certainly, it takes two people to put on a great match, and she certainly put her heart and soul into that match. But I'm talking about them small nuances that Becky Lynch is doing. People say, well, we had anti-heroes before, and they never got this type of reaction. We had anti-heroes that were women wrestlers that were kind of like, we want to cheer for them even though they're bad. Yeah, but not this. Mike hit the nail on the head when he mentioned Stone Cold Steve Austin. While Stone Cold Steve Austin was giving the fans the middle fingers and giving everybody Stone Cold Stunners and saying, I don't give a damn about you fans and I don't give a damn about anybody. I'm just here to kick ass and work my way to the top. His facial expressions, his mannerisms, the way he reacted when fans were cheering, you kind of knew that's not true. He's starting to enjoy the adulation. He's starting to realize and be confident in who he is. And eventually he turned good. And when he turned face, he became one of the biggest faces in the history of the WWE ever. Becky Lynch has that exact same mentality going for her. We look at Becky Lynch and we say, she's not anti-fan. She does know some of the things she's doing is wrong, but she is so determined to be ahead. And she has so much ambition. And she feels like she was held back for so long that she refuses to go back to being that girl who gets pushed aside. And the fans are saying, yes, don't go back to being that girl. Stay this way because we want you that way. But we see just enough vulnerability in Becky Lynch when she puts her head down and you realize she knows Edge is right. We see just enough vulnerability to say that's a likable character. That's so crucially important, and it's something the WWE used to do so well and forgot how to do or ignored how to do it. And now that you see it in action and you see how well it gets received by fans, perhaps the WWE will wake up and say, we need to do this with more people. Becky Lynch has become a star, not male or female, a star. Becky Lynch is actually a draw. Becky Lynch on a card now means more people are going. And I got news for you. It's been a long time since that's been the case, if ever. Anyway, the only bad thing about this pay-per-view is they thought it was a great idea to promote Crown Jewel during it, which was rude and obnoxious. But they still did it. Overall, I don't want to rate this on a scale that's any different than the men. So I'm not going to say, oh, for the women's pay-per-view, you got to give this an A++. Well, no. I'm going to rate it just like the men's pay-per-view. I'm going to give it a B+. I thought that some of the matches were badly booked, but, man, almost all of them were fought well. And I enjoyed every minute of it. I did not have any major problem with any of the match quality, Mike. I just, some of the booking I had a problem with.
Right, and I'm not gonna knock anything off for the questionable booking. I'm gonna go a little bit better. I'm gonna go A-.
Okay, and Todd, what's your overall rating on this?
I'm gonna give it a B+.
So all in all, I mean, we were very happy with the pay-per-view. The women rose to the occasion. They did what we said they had to do to a certain extent. But I will say this. Last night, the WWE's evolution proved one thing, and that is the women's division is riding on the coattails, not of Ronda Rousey. The women's division is riding on the coattails of Becky Lynch. Period. And the WWE needs to milk this for all that it's worth and let some of the other women bask in that a little bit and get their moment of fame in it too. So congratulations to the women. We will see you tomorrow with the Monday Night Raw report.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.